The readings for Friday, the fifth week after Easter, the 11th of May. First reading, the Acts of the Apostles. Then the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church, decided to choose men from among their members and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the believers of Gentile origin in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that certain persons have gone out from us, though with no instructions from us, and have said things to disturb you and have unsettled your minds, we have decided unanimously to choose representatives and send them to you, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to impose on you no further burden than these essentials: that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So they were sent off and went down to Antioch. When they gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. When its members read it, they rejoiced at the exhortation. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. A reflection for today. The Gospel of John, and also the first letter of John, are justly famous for the love commandment. That is, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just one command sums up, or better, expresses the essence of Christian life, according to John. But, as we know only too well, there are a lot of other commands in the Bible and in church teaching. And modern societies groan under the burden of laws, all of which, we are told by our legislators, are there to protect our freedom. Why do we need so many commands, so many laws, when, as Jesus says, only one is needed? Is the reason for this that we are, let's face it, pretty awful lovers? I'm using the word lovers here in the biblical sense of unswerving commitment to God and our neighbour. In relation to this, there is a famous saying attributed to St. Augustine: love and do what you want. Augustine's maxim, let's be clear, is not a license to indulge oneself, far from it. Augustine's point is that if we really loved as Jesus loves, then we would want to do only what God wants and what is best for our neighbour. And we would do it instinctively. And of course, at times, doing this may be anything but pleasant and could in extreme circumstances lead to one's death. And so Jesus laid down his life for us, his friends, out of love for us. A modern writer André Comte de Sponville, in his A Short Treatise on the Great Virtues, takes up Augustine's maxim. He writes that we need morality only for want of love, which is why we need it so. Morality does not prescribe love. Instead, it asks us to perform out of duty the very same action that if we loved, we would have accomplished for love alone. So, perhaps far from presuming that we are perfect lovers, it may be better to presume that we are pretty poor lovers and desperately need to go to school to learn how to become better lovers. This school of perfection, of course, is discipleship, Christian discipleship, learning to follow Jesus in his way of love. Thankfully, Jesus does not require that we jump through a certain number of hoops, or successfully complete an entrance exam, or an obstacle course before we enter. He welcomes us to his school as we are, and the various commands and examples in the gospel gradually school us, teach us, to acquire what we call the virtue of love. There's apparently quite a debate going on about whether our moral life, how we conduct ourselves towards our neighbours, should be based on rules and regulations or on the acquisition of virtues. The Dominican position espoused by Thomas Aquinas favours virtues. But let's not leave out those rules. Those regulations and commands, they can help us to learn how to be virtuous, how to be gentle, generous, temperate, courageous, prudent. All those moral virtues that are part and parcel of our life and of our language. And these humble virtues, yes, humility is another one of them, are very important because they set us on the way to being true, loyal lovers, that is, to having the virtue of love. In fact, each moral virtue can be seen as a flame of love sputtering into life and gradually growing in warmth and light. Eventually, and this is the great adventure of our Christian life, love will free us from the duty of morality, or perhaps better, morality will be fulfilled in the love that we will instinctively, as it were, show towards our neighbours, both in our attitudes and in our actions. We could also express this in relation to laws by recalling that Christ, according to the Gospel of Matthew, frees us from the law not by abolishing it, but by fulfilling it. And if we ask the Father in Jesus' name, according to our reading in John, to become real lovers, which is to be like him, we are assured by the gospel that this gift of love will not be withheld.